to the Gym Podcast. Uncut, unfiltered, unreal.
Welcome everyone to the Gym Podcast. Welcome folks. I'm your host, Jimmy Fisher. Joining me this week, as always, is the one, the only, Randy Darsh.
Hello everybody. We have the playoffs are coming to town, just like Santa Claus. I am, of course, excited as a participant. But I feel like first things first, we have to talk about Sharon Moore and just that whole situation and how crazy it is.
You know, it's funny. People know we typically record these things not on Thursday mornings, right? We often do it like, I think we recorded last Monday or something, right? And like, I remember literally in that episode saying, well, you know, things might happen, but it is what it is. It's that time of year. And then like the next day, this news starts leaking. I'm like, God dang it. We couldn't talk about it. But here we are, folks. Randy. There's a lot to dissect here. This has to be the biggest coaching scandal of the year, right?
Oh, of course. It's just a crazy situation because apparently people kind of knew for years that it was going on and they just didn't say anything.
So there's a lot.
Until they had to because the woman kind of went to the university and exposed the relationship. But it's like, we don't know why she did that, why she chose that time to do that. Nope. So just using my old noggin, it sounds like he got a little stalkery and kind of started losing it mentally, kind of unraveling a little bit. So she just had to end it because she was sick of that. And that was really the only way to like stop him from being a little obsessive. I don't know.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong. Like the day this all came out, he like threatened to kill her as well as himself. Like he went to her
house. He did that after he was outed. So it's like obviously a result of being outed. You know what I mean? But like, you don't just like go 0 to 100 like that, you know. Plenty of people have been fired from great jobs and not held a knife to their own throat and broke into their mistress's home, right?
Call me cynical. What's crazy about all this is I feel like, had he not had this insane overreaction and had these criminal, you know, like he's literally got arrested for those threats, you know, like there is unfortunately a world where a guy like Sharon Moore, like, you know, he could be on an Auburn sideline one day. Despite the drama, you know what I mean? Like, seriously,
he probably will be anyway.
You think still? I don't know. I think he's probably done for sure. But what's upsetting is that, I mean, obviously it's terrible what happened. You know, you obviously think for his wife and kids, but like the fact that it seems like the AD of Michigan knew about this for years, it's just like, burn the whole program down at this point. Between this and Harbaugh, like,
right, and all of their assistant coach, they have a ton of assistant coaching scandals as well that they keep getting banned by the NCAA, having Stallions. Their own sex scandals. There was one where an assistant coach got fired because he was using their programs or whatever provided by the university to like hack into students' computers and get their images.
Come on.
Stuff like that. And then they hired Juwan Howard, if you remember, their basketball coach. I just know this Michigan athletic director has scandal after scandal after scandal under his watch, and he is not at all like caring or prudent about how he handles them.
Juwan Howard, did he assault Greg Gard at some point?
When they fired him, apparently they knew they were about to fire him, and they kind of knew that they knew things were going to blow up.
Yeah.
And they didn't have any type of security, any type of person there, any type of HR present there. They just brought him in alone. And it's like, dude, that's not how you handle that. You have to have security. You have to handle it professionally. Ugh. Like, even in my basic office job, when they fire somebody, they have people kind of like by the door ready.
Yeah. People,
Much lower stakes.
I was going to say, this is like, in a sense, like, I understand the crash note because, like, his life is over in a lot of ways, but, like, that was really over. You know what I mean? Like, there are millions of dollars to be lost here. He's lost, presumably, his wife, you know, his family.
I mean,
it's tough.
There was actually a photo taken of them out in public today together with the stroller. Whoa. He was pushing the stroller, yeah.
Oh my God.
It sounds like she's going to take him back. I mean, people are saying his life is over. I honestly don't think it is. I mean, like, let's face it. What he did was bad. And, I mean, the staffer was a 32-year-old. It's not like she was a college student. She's, like, within 6 years, 7 years of his age.
Okay. It's a regular old affair. I mean, you know.
Regular old affair. I mean, and let's just be honest. DJ Durkin still has a job. Kendall Briles has a job.
It's true. No, again, the Auburn coaching pipeline.
Right.
I don't know. Michigan, it seems like their AD might be toast. I don't know what the exact read on that is right now. But honestly, for the sake of that program, and for the Big Ten, this is such a bad look for a conference. Like, I hope they get just a total cleaning of the house there. Like, just an embarrassing show for the last few years out of Michigan.
It feels like it always goes back and forth between Ohio State and Michigan, between who's the evil villain.
Yeah, I know. Funny. I know, well.
Because Michigan were the good guys for a couple of weeks when it turns out they were one of the Big Ten programs saying no to the private equity deal.
I remember that. Yes, yeah. Them and USC.
But then before even that, they were the bad guy because of the whole cheating thing. And then, you know.
No, I know. But, like, you think about, like, Urban Meyer at Ohio State, and then he goes to, you know, the video of him in the bar, you know, it's they really do.
What is it with these coaches, man?
I don't know. Well, I remember saying this to you, and maybe I was a bit overreacting at the time when I first sent it a few days ago. But I would be surprised if, like, a lot of schools have coaches who have baggage. Maybe not as similar, like, as dramatic or serious as this, but, like, it just seems like every year there's scandal after scandal in some capacity across the nation. And, like, it does make you wonder how many of these guys, like, not to, like, point names, but it's probably happening.
I imagine it's a lot. There's a lot of assistants that kind of have these things go on. But with an assistant, it's not, like, the CEO of the program, so it's not even really a scandal.
Sure.
But I imagine things happen, not to that degree. But I don't think, like, as far as head coaches go, I don't think, like, every head coach is serially cheating on their wife. I think it's a big – it's news and a big deal because it's – I mean, I don't want to say rare, mm-hmm. but it's not –
it's not
the
every
most
day.
Common thing. Yeah.
Like, because again, I come back to, I think about guys like Lane Kiffin.
Right.
There's no way.
He's just open about it. I love it. But, like, let's face it. Like, I don't think Kalen DeBoer or Luke Fickell have any interest in being involved in that sort of thing.
I hope not. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I hope not for really anyone, but it is this weird power dynamic. You know, a lot of these guys, especially these days, they're, like, young, good looking millionaires working with, like, 19-year-old, it's a weird power dynamic, you know what I mean? Especially with how big these departments are.
Yeah.
And so,
is it that hard to not cheat on your wife? Like, I just don't understand these dudes.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
We're just gonna, like, air this news to our wives just so, like, we look better by comparison, like, lower the bar a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
Makes us look great.
We're saints compared to pretty much every coach. So, that's the big news. And we've also got some games coming up, like, by the time you're hearing this tomorrow. I can't believe it. The playoffs are here already, this weekend.
It feels like it snuck up on me. Like, I've been really looking forward to it, but it still feels like it snuck up on me with some of the downtime.
Well,
because we have...
earlier, though. Like, you know, obviously we used to have playoffs, like, on New Year's 6, right? And so...
Right.
We kind of had, like, at least for me, like, this was the time of year where we'd have a lot of those kind of weird, you know, G5 bowls or, like, maybe the occasional P4. Type matchup, but, like, it didn't get serious until January 1st. Now it's like, dude, before Christmas, we're getting this stuff. So the timing, I don't know. Call it another casualty of the playoff era, I suppose.
I'm actually fine with it. I think it makes for an interesting holiday season to have these games to look forward to. I guess we'll go ahead and start off Friday night. The first playoff game is Alabama at Oklahoma.
Yep.
It's going to be very interesting because I feel like it's hard to know what version of not just us, but every single playoff team we're going to get with 2 weeks, 3 weeks, sometimes a month off.
That's true.
If they're going to reset, lose momentum, get guys healthy and kind of get back into gear. If they just peaked early and were fraudulent the whole time. Like, we don't know what we're going to get. Because, like, with Alabama specifically, we are getting a lot of players back healthy that mm-hmm. we really need. So it's like, who knows? Like, did we run out of gas still? Did our offensive scheme kind of get figured out by opposing defenses? Or was it just a matter of we needed to get some guys healthy and get some time to rest and recuperate, all that sort of thing? You know what I mean?
I do.
Like, in Oklahoma, who knows? Maybe with a couple of weeks, they could have more offensive ripples and finally get their offense gearing up with their quarterback and everything. You just don't know what you're going to get. So it's so hard to predict these games, but... as far as the Friday night game, 7 p.m., Alabama, Oklahoma, I do like our chances. Especially in a rematch. Rematches are so hard to win.
I know. And the thing is, you know, you're talking about, like, this one side of, like, you know, the playoffs and how, obviously, like, each team handles this kind of extended period of not playing differently, right? For me, like, kind of a component of the playoffs that I don't see people talk about enough. But granted, it's only year two. But I think that a huge factor in a team's success comes down to just the matchups and kind of how lucky or unlucky you get, looking at the bracket, You know, there's a big difference between playing maybe kind of a more fraudulent team. I'm not going to name names yet, but you know, versus like a death, you know, panel. Like, say you got to play Ohio State 1 week and then beat them and then play Georgia the next, right? Like, and here's the thing, Randy. I look at Bama's playoff, you know, potential run here. I think it's effortless. And I know I use the term a lot when describing Alabama, but man, if you beat Oklahoma, you'd have Indiana and then likely Oregon and then the national championship. To me, like that, that's, you're avoiding A&M, who I think is actually like poised to make a run. You're avoiding Georgia. You're avoiding Ohio State entirely. Man.
Look, you just can't think like that. Like, if you're a fan of this, you just can't think of it that way. You play who you play. You're going to have to beat some great teams no matter what. Like, when people talk about who has the most favorable side of the bracket, it never works out that way.
Well, kind of the last year for Notre Dame, dude. Like, I don't think Notre Dame was the second best team in the country, but they made it to the national championship, and they earned it. You know, but that was
important. They earned it. They had it rolling, but they didn't win it. I mean, that's true. Eventually, you're going to meet somebody. Like, it's just not something you can really put a lot of thought into.
Interesting.
I'm just saying, it never works out that way in real life to be as favorable as you think it will be, as it looks on paper. Like, you see it happen in the tournament all the time. I remember a couple of years ago, we lost in the Sweet 16 after all the other one seeds had went down. We were the number one overall seed. Mm-hmm.
Feeling good.
We see like an open path to the Final Four, to the championship, and we fell. And we're like, we have our best player in school history. This was our one chance to make the Final Four. We're never going to make a Final Four. This is so depressing. Very next year, we have a really hard, difficult side of the bracket. The one seed's mostly held. The two seed's mostly held. It looks super difficult. Next thing you know, we beat North Carolina, and then we make it to the Final Four pretty unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, things in these tournament scenarios just never work out how you think they are on paper.
That's fair. I know last year it surprised everyone. I mean, the big narrative, I feel like the big takeaway from like the first week, which we're previewing here now, is that every single away team in that like first four games played on site, on campus, all four teams got destroyed. I don't think that's going to be the case this year, at least for two of these games, Bama, Oklahoma being one of them. Obviously, I'm going to go ahead and say it, folks, my lock of the week. Yeah, Bama wins this one easily. Like, I really believe that, like, dude, if for no other reason, I think Oklahoma doesn't get enough credit for being a fraud. You know, we've spent so much time and effort talking about Notre Dame and how, you know, whether or not they got snubbed. I think Notre Dame would beat Oklahoma. I think a lot of teams would beat Oklahoma, man. Like, Texas beat Oklahoma earlier in the year, right? A lot of these kind of, like, fringe playoff teams, I think, overall, like, present a much greater threat to make a run than Oklahoma, because, man, like you said, their offense is probably the worst in the entire playoff bracket. That's including G5 teams, if I'm being honest. Like, it is historically bad for how good they are otherwise.
I feel like this prediction from you comes off the basis that our offense, Alabama's offense, has definitely shown way more potential than Oklahoma's offense. Like, and that, oh, easily, yeah, of course. But we've also shown the potential to lay a total egg.
It
depends on which version of Bama shows up. Like, Oklahoma's a pretty consistent team week to week. You kind of know what you're going to get. With Alabama, you just don't. I imagine no matter what happens, people are going to completely overreact to the game in terms of what this means about Alabama.
I mean, that's a given.
So it's one game in the playoffs. It's the second year. I'm just going to try not to put too much stock into the result no matter what happens. And I'm just going to cheer for my team. Hope we win this game and hope we get a crack at Indiana.
Wow. Look at that. I bet you the players have the same mentality. Whereas I'm going to say this, if the players are anything like the fan base, I think they're distracted. I don't know. That's all I'll say. There's weird vibes, man, out of Oklahoma.
There's got to be a weird type of pressure on them, too, knowing it's a rematch, knowing they beat us before. They, quote-unquote, have had our number since they joined the conference. Yeah. I mean, it's two games, but
it's been
still, like there's pressure to keep it up. Like, whenever teams play us nowadays, it's almost like they don't want to be the team that lets Alabama maintain that dynasty feel to it. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think Oklahoma's in a weird position because, like, in a lot of ways, Oklahoma, like, I get a sense that they still, as a fan base, haven't quite recovered from Tebow leaving. You know, even though in a lot of ways, like, they're, you know, they're having lots of success here, right? They're in the playoffs. They're a top 10 team. They are a good program overall. But I get this sense that like they still feel like scorned or betrayed, and like they're like the little brother kind of thing still compared to Texas. And you can get over that reputation if you beat teams like Bama, if you make, you know, a deep playoff run here. But like I just don't see them. I just don't see them making that this year. Like, even regardless of Bama, like I think they could be playing other playoff teams like Oregon or A&M or even Miami. Like I just don't think Oklahoma's positioned to make a good run this year.
I mean, I kind of see what you're saying, like reputation-wise, but it's like when you actually look at it, that's really not that true. Like, they have a ton of resources; they recruit very well.
No, I agree. Which is why it's weird to see their program still like have this kind of like little brother ethos to it. You know, like they're still kind of living in Texas's shadow in a lot of ways, even though Texas is obviously like down this year. You know,
right. No, I know what you mean. I mean, they lost to them, so.
They did, yeah. That does a lot to them. So.
Yeah. On Saturday morning at 11 a.m., we have Miami, Texas A&M, both teams that defeated Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the Notre Dame bowl playoff game.
Yep.
I have no idea what to make of this for the reasons that I stated earlier. We have no idea which versions of these teams we're going to get, mm-hmm. because both teams peaked pretty early in the season and then kind of fell off a little bit. Kind of wavered a little bit. But again, we don't know what's going to happen with a week or two weeks, 3 weeks to kind of recuperate, recover, kind of get your head centered. You know what I mean?
I do. What's interesting about this one is, like, in a weird way, like, though I don't trust Miami, the team, that much, I do kind of trust Carson Beck, the quarterback for Miami, because, like, he's going to have more playoff experience than I think, like, anyone else in the pack this year. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. And that's a great point, actually, that he's just going to understand the game flow, because it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a completely different game in the playoffs than it is the regular season. You just have to have that kind of mental edge to not let the moment get too big for you and second guess your decisions. And I feel like it just being coached by Kirby Smart is probably going to rub off on him well.
Yeah, that kind of like, I don't know, ice in his veins kind of factor or whatever. Like, I think A&M overall is the better team, but like you said, it's which version shows up. A&M, I think more than Miami, honestly, has kind of floundered late in the year. I mean, obviously, they just lost to Texas in their final game of the year. You remember a few weeks ago when they were playing South Carolina and needed, like, a miracle comeback to win by 1 point?
That is true, but I give them credit. I actually give them credit for that South Carolina win, because they could have just laid down and just accepted the loss and just kind of, you know what I mean? But they came out at halftime, did what they needed to do, rallied. I actually gained respect for Texas A&M for rallying back, mm-hmm. and that's ultimately why I'm picking them, because I feel like we haven't had to see Miami rally back or really face that type of adversity, because they lost their games middle of the year when there wasn't a lot of attention on the losses, where they could quote-unquote make up for it later sort of thing.
That's fair. I actually kind of like Miami in this one, if for one reason. This is an 11 o'clock game. I think there's going to be a lot of hype around A&M, this being a home game, you know, the whole 12th man, like, shtick. And I think that A&M, more than a lot of teams, like, they kind of, like, buy their own hype, in a way. And, like, every year it leads to this downfall. Not that Miami is immune to this, certainly not. Miami, more than most programs, you know, kind of falls victim to this. But I feel like A&M is kind of like the king at that. And I think, like, there's this going to be, like, maybe a little bit of looking ahead for A&M. And again, I come back to Beck. I think he's going to actually probably have a pretty good game this year. So I like Miami. It should be a close one, though. I think both this and the Alabama-Oklahoma game, those are going to be the two best games, likely. Like, the only two maybe watchable games out of this bunch, which we can talk about more here. But I could see both games being, you know, one-score games late in the fourth quarter, so.
Oh, definitely. They're going to be close games. They're going to be entertaining. Yeah. At 2:30 on Saturday, we have Tulane at Ole Miss. I'm not going to give Tulane much of a shot here. We literally already saw this game in the regular season, and Ole Miss just wiped the floor with them. Ole Miss is getting a bunch of their offensive coaching staff from LSU, at least back for the playoffs, to be able to coach the offense. So I think that's going to help them tremendously.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss actually literally hired LSU's interim head coach as a staff position, like a permanent staff position to their program, which is very interesting.
It's upset. Like, of all the way to see these playoffs, the fact that we are getting a rematch that was such a blowout. For context, Ole Miss beat Tulane earlier in the year, 45-10. It's hard to get excited about this one, you know?
I agree. I would have rather seen James Madison in this position, but obviously the seeding just kind of falls where it falls.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. I'm not the biggest fan of rematches. I guess if you have to have a rematch, it's good to have it in the first round just to get it out of the way. Because people would be not necessarily pleased to see Alabama versus Oklahoma in, what, the third round. They'd be kind of like, well, we already saw this. Like,
I suppose, yeah.
Go ahead and let them duke it out in the first round. I kind of understand that. I will say, I wanted to make a point. I actually like having these group of five teams in the playoff, group of six teams in the playoff. Mm-hmm. Like, my thought has always been, I wish we would expand the playoffs to include every single conference champion. Because for these programs, like, making the playoff is itself a massive reward. And not just making the playoff so that they'll lay down and die, but having just the chance. The chance to have a massive program-defining upset over a Power 4 team or a Power 2 team. So, like, for example, with Boise State, they when they played Oklahoma, you know that they probably play highlights from that game or clips from that game as part of the little pregame hype video in the stadium before every game, right? One of my friends went to Jacksonville State, and he was in the band at Jacksonville State. And they beat Ole Miss one year, I think, like, when we were in college or right before we started college.
Sure.
And he said that, yeah, they play the hype video of, like, the highlights of the Ole Miss game when they beat them in the stadium before every game as part of their pregame hype thing. And it's just one of those program-defining moments where it's going to be talked about for 50 years and they can really build on it. And it also will create more parity within the sport because we're seeing players will see these opportunities. Hey, I can still play on the biggest stage. You know, I don't want to have to ride the bench and not be able to show off what I can do, because if I play well at this group of six team my freshman year, I will have a bigger program come calling with the bag. So, like, Portal and NIL honestly has helped the group of six more than it's hurt them for that very fact. Like, they're getting players that want to start and show off what they got so they can transfer.
Yeah,
it's a weird dichotomy that I don't think anybody expected.
No, I agree. I love how you're calling it the group of six. Are we including the ACC?
Whatever they're called now. Whatever they're called. Group of six. I don't even know anymore.
Yeah.
But conversely, we are also seeing a drop in quality in FCS play, at least from what I'm noticing. And I think that's because those top FCS players, they now want to go to these group of six teams as well instead of going to an FCS program. Mm-hmm. Because, again, they want to get noticed so that they can potentially get a bag from a bigger program.
I totally agree with that. I think, like, if you were, I imagine pre-NIL, pre-transfer portal, like, if you were, like, a pretty good player, but, like, not quite good enough for, like, a P5 program, the difference between, a good FCS school and, like, an OK G5 school, it probably isn't that big. Like, it makes sense that maybe you just want to play for, you know, like, a school
that's have a championship to play for.
Yeah, yeah. But now, like, I think, yeah, like, there's this, like, at least on paper, there's a possibility that, like, James Madison can win the national championship. Like, it's not going to happen, but, like,
They can win a playoff game, and they can have that moment.
They will eventually win. Like, maybe not this year, but I think a G5 team will eventually win, like, a first-round game. And it will be huge. I don't think this is the year, though. I think neither matchup's boding quite well. I mean, we can talk about it, too. James Madison, Oregon. For as cool of a story as JMU is this year, you know, getting two G5 teams in, you look at a lot of their wins, especially against, you know, like their one win against a quote-unquote power team, Washington State this year, they beat them 24-20. I just don't see them standing a chance here against Oregon. And I think Oregon's overrated, but, like, come on.
JMU did also lose by two touchdowns at Louisville early in the season. At least it was competitive.
Closer than Tulane.
Eight win team. Yeah. I agree with you for the record. I don't see them having much of a shot.
But I'd like to see close. I'd like to see, if not the upset, at least just like a competitive game.
Have it close in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Have a chance.
Hey, Wisconsin, a terrible team, kept it kind of close against Oregon. Like, again, I don't think Oregon's particularly good, but, like, this is an easy matchup for them. You know, that's just kind of the situation here.
It's also way too feel-good, touchy-feely with how the programs are talking about each other, Oregon and JMU, where they have their university presidents or athletic directors have a fun little bet where if Oregon wins, I'll send them a Virginia ham. And if we win, I get a bottle of Pinot Noir from Oregon. And it's like all these like fun little things. Oregon fans are showing JMU where the best bars are in Eugene.
Sure.
And it's like, okay, this is way too friendly. It's almost like James Madison kind of knows what they're going in for. They're going to go lay down and die.
Yeah, it does feel like that. I didn't know that, but that definitely checks out. I, yeah.
Like, you're not friendly with a team that you think's actually going to have a chance to beat you.
I know. And this is where, like, I don't... Part of me is, like, I would actually love to see, like, Oregon play Notre Dame this weekend. Not to keep bringing them up. I'd love to see Oregon play Vanderbilt or Texas. You know, a lot of these other, like, fringe playoff teams. And, like, we're kind... In a sense, we're being robbed of, like, good matchups. But I also understand the argument of, like, yeah, these G5 teams deserve some representation. This probably isn't going to have playoff implications regardless. Like, I don't think either Ole Miss or Oregon are going to be, you know, making a deep run or anything like that. But
right.
I don't know. Well, like, it just sucks. I mean,
that's
like,
the thing is, any of these top 10 teams could theoretically make a run, but theoretically is different than actuality. Some with varying different percentage chances of actually pulling that off.
Yeah.
But it's possible for most of these teams, for the top 10 at least.
Should we talk some bowl games, Randy? At least the bowl games we have coming up here alongside this first round of the playoffs.
Sure. Everything before Thursday the 25th, Christmas Day.
Christmas Day. Okay. Let's discuss it. So, I mean, jumping on to me here. Not that there's a lot that jumps out here. Let's just go down it. Let's just go down the list, shall we? Real quick.
Sure.
We can touch on each bowl game. Why not? This is the Jumbocast. We care about
Wednesday,
yeah.
December 17th. We got to talk about the bowl names are what's going to really get me.
That's true.
So
that's
Wednesday,
true.
December 17th, we have 9-3 Old Dominion, the Virginia Tech Slayer, versus South Florida, also at 9-3.
They're
in
playing
the
right now. That's fun.
Staff, they are literally playing right now as we're recording. And the Staff DNA Cure Bowl.
Was the Cure Bowl? The Cure Bowl existed before, right? It wasn't the Staff. I think, you know what I mean?
So. Let me see what Staff DNA is.
Yeah, this is a great tradition. We always just look at the
bowl. Connects sponsors. Healthcare professionals to top jobs. So it's a search agency, a staffing agency for nurses and other healthcare providers in travel nursing positions.
This seems like a really expensive middleman. Like, it's a noble cause, but it's also like...
It's a middleman. Like, staffing agencies have become a thing in recent years, thankfully. Like, they help you find a job. I've used staffing agencies to help me find my jobs.
Is the Cure Bowl one of the... Okay, so they've raised money for cancer research. I'll allow it. I think as far as, like, corporate sponsors go, at least on paper, from a distance, it looks like a good cause. Like, who knows what kind of shady, you know, stuff might be happening here. But I like the idea, overall.
I'm also trying to see where this is played. But I want to talk about the location, too. It is in... Camping World Stadium in Orlando. Oh,
it's always in paradise. It's always in paradise, dude. I'm so jealous.
I mean, no, it is. It's 70 degrees. It's not even that warm.
Oh, shut. Dude, no, you don't even know. You don't even know. Today is the first day above freezing in like 3 weeks here. Good God. Good God. Anyways, let's move on. South Florida is playing Old Dominion. I don't know. I'm guessing South Florida will win. We'll know by the time this episode's out. But I'm guessing the Bulls win this one.
At 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday, December 17th, we have the 68 Ventures Bowl. Okay.
Is this like Route 66 or something? What were we?
68. No. 68 Ventures. It used to be the Lending Tree Bowl. Yeah, it's in Mobile.
Okay.
68 Ventures. Let me see what 68 Ventures is.
This used to be the GoDaddy Bowl or the Lending Tree Bowl. This is
the Lending Tree Bowl.
So this is fascinating. If you look up any of these bowls on
Ventures?
Wikipedia, there's an entire history. Of just the bowl, like, sponsor names. Fascinating.
Is a 68 Ventures is a change agent for growth along the northern Gulf Coast and adjacent markets. It's an investment company. Don't tell me this is one of those places that buys up houses just to rent them out. Is that literally what this is?
It might be. I'm looking at the website. It's all very vague, I think.
Focus on development, investment, and construction.
Keep punching.
It sounds like that's what they are.
Why
would they advertise?
Lot development. Well, like...
Lot development. So they're construction for
Well, development is vague, because they've developed, quote-unquote, 120,000 lots, but have only built 3,600 homes, which tells me they probably, like, buy, like, homes and renovate them.
Oh.
What are you doing, folks?
They're, like, one step below healthcare CEOs and people, everyone in the country.
That's true. Yep. Okay, so far, if we had to power rank these, I'd say the Staff DNA Cure Bowl.
Yeah, the 68 Ventures Bowl is going to be dead last. Okay.
I want to see Delrin win. The Blue Hens, dude. I'd say maybe one of the most underrated logos in football.
I forgot that they were moved up to the FBS. I completely forgot about that.
It's just such a funny, like, unintimidating but kind of cute logo, you know?
Yeah.
All right, moving on. What's next, Randy?
Now, this is my favorite bowl. We have, on Thursday, December 18th at 8 p.m., the Xbox Bowl.
Gamers,
Missouri State versus Arkansas State. 2.500 group of six teams. I forgot Missouri State also moved up to the FBS.
Seen a lot of those lately, huh?
We already know what Xbox is, but I think it's very interesting that they have a bowl now. I mean, I think we still have the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl still, right?
Is it? Let's look this up here. Fiesta Bowl 2025.
Because it used to be the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl.
It was the greatest PlayStation
Fiesta Bowl.
Verbo? Oh, it was previously PlayStation. Remember, it was Battle Frog for a while?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. So there's no longer a PlayStation Bowl, but there is now an Xbox Bowl. So that's kind of cool.
I guess this is an Xbox. This bowl game is an Xbox. Honestly, I did not know Missouri State was FBS.
Me neither.
It's my first time hearing this. I hope they win.
Friday, December 19th. We have Kennesaw State at 10-3, who actually had a great season. Good for them, Kennesaw State. And I believe they won their conference. They did win their conference. Good for them.
Crazy.
So they could have made the playoffs. playing Western Michigan, who is 9-4, who I don't remember if they played for their conference. They won their conference as well, the MAC champion. So this is two group of six conference champions. That's kind of cool. And the Myrtle Beach Bowl. I actually kind of like these bowls that just advertise the city that they're in.
I agree. You got the Birmingham Bowl, obviously. Yeah. But I feel like if there's going to be there's obviously going to be a sponsor for everything. I don't mind, cities advertising, come here, look at how nice it is in December. You know, especially for, think of, the Michigan fans watching this, Western Michigan. They're going to see Myrtle Beach, which I know has a reputation, but they're going to see, the good parts of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, it's so nice and warm. Let's go there next year. That kind of thing, you know?
Exactly. And it's going to be 68 degrees at kickoff.
What I'd give, dude. What I'd give.
At 1:30 p.m. on Friday, we have the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl. I don't like financial mortgage lender bowl sponsors. They're just boring, man.
It used to just be the Gasparilla Bowl, right? When did they get...
Yeah.
Because I thought Gasparilla was a sponsor. Am I going crazy?
I was thinking that too. What is Gasparilla?
It's the Gasparilla Pirate Festival in Tampa, where they get their pirate ships.
What? All right.
It's a nod to legend Jose Gaspar. I'm butchering this. A mythical Spanish pirate. Okay, so Gasparilla was never a brand. It was just
Jose Gaspar. It's just a pirate festival.
I do not know.
That is such a cool sponsor, though. Your sponsor is a pirate festival. That is cool.
That is pretty cool.
But now it's a Union Home Mortgage pirate festival.
Let's look them up. I mean, I'm sure these are all kind of scammy, but let's look up Union Home real quick and see what we got here.
They're probably a legitimate mortgage lender. It's just they're trying to get their name out there, yada, yada.
I get it. Yeah.
I'm scared to click on their website because I don't want to get spammed.
Oh, you're going
to
get ads, dude. No, it's over. I can refinance my home from them. Could be kind of fun.
I clicked on their website and I get an immediate pop up to accept all cookies, an immediate pop up to a little chat, AI chat bot to talk to them about my mortgage, and then another immediate pop up for something else. And I have to close out of all of them just to be able to look at the webpage.
They want your data, dude. They've already got it. If you're listening to this podcast, they've got your data. I'm sure they've connected the dots. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Let's go Kennesaw State. They're doing that College Football 25 rebuild. So this is going to be a pretty big year. Year three, they'll probably be in the playoffs.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Gasparilla Bowl is Memphis and North Carolina State.
Oh.
They didn't mention the teams.
We forgot that. What the heck?
North Carolina State, the perpetual 7-5 team.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of this.
The perpetual 8-4 group of 6.
Weirdly enough, this feels like one of those weird games that ends up being 35-32 and actually ends on a last second play. Ends up being a good game.
Yeah. It's going to be a good lead up to the playoff game at night.
That's true. Everyone's been watching this who is not working. Fascinating.
Well, fascinating. Some of us will be watching it when working. Anyway.
That's true.
On Monday, December 22nd, this is one of my favorite ones. the famous Idaho Potato Bowl featuring Washington State and Utah State.
Yes. No, I'm not even joking. My wife and I, for years, she said we should go to the Idaho Bowl. I'm not even joking. Because we like the idea. Like, okay, no, here's the thing. We like the idea of like picking a random bowl game and going to it every year. You know what I mean? Like, I think people do this. Like, they just use it as an excuse to, like, go somewhere warm or, like, nice, right, in December. Especially if you're from the north. But the idea, like, I weirdly enough, I've always wanted to see Boise's field in person. I feel like it's got to be so one of a kind of an experience to see that blue field. And it just, to me, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl has always been one of my favorite, like, dumb sponsors. Like, I prefer it way over, like, the Pop-Tart Bowl or, like, the, you know, the cheese. We had the Cheez-It Bowl or whatever. Like, to me, this is, like... This is real, man. This is culture. It's Idaho. They're not
entertaining. I tend to agree with you. It's just so, like, it speaks for itself. Like, everybody knows what potatoes are. We understand they're superior quality potatoes, and it speaks for itself. They don't have to do gimmicks. They don't have to throw potatoes at people or peel a giant potato as part of the celebration.
Yeah.
As much as I love the Pop-Tart Bowl antics, it can be fun. And that's what bowl season is about. I do find it interesting whenever there's a bowl game in like one of the most northern remote places in the country. It's like, do you really want to go there in December? Like, imagine your choice. You could be selected for either the Bahamas Bowl or the Idaho Potato Bowl.
I fully agree. The one exception, I don't know if they still do it anymore, but there is the bowl game like in New York. I want to say like the Yankee Stadium.
That's the Pinstripe Bowl.
Oh yeah, like that could be kind of fun. Like New York in winter.
You can play has, Yankee like, Stadium. Oh yeah,
interesting vibe. But like you look at like the Motor City Bowl or whatever. If that's still a thing, I guess we'll get to that. Like Detroit in December. Like what are we doing? No one wants to go here.
No one wants to go there.
Yeah.
speaking of great bowl locations, on Tuesday, December 23rd at 1 p.m., we have Toledo 8-4 playing Louisville 8-4 in the Bush's Boca Raton Bowl. So Bush's is obviously a bean company.
Beans.
I actually like Bush's as a bowl sponsor. It's interesting. It's American. You know what I mean? Bush's baked beans. And another city sponsored bowl name. Boca Raton is a wonderful destination for a bowl game.
Have you been?
I have been to Boca Raton.
Wow. Yeah, this guy sounds very ignorant. I don't know why, but up until now, I thought Boca Raton was like one of those like Caribbean islands or something. Like it has that kind of name to it. You know what I mean?
I know.
It's in Florida.
No, that's like in North Miami. Yeah, I've been there before during the winter, and it was warm.
It's FAU nice stadium. They play at FAU. Okay.
Okay, that's kind of interesting. I've actually been inside FAU stadium, so
that's pretty cool. All right. Good bowl.
At 4:30 on Tuesday, we have Western Kentucky 8-4, Southern Miss 7-5, and the New Orleans Bowl. I like that there's no corporate sponsor for this. It's just advertising New Orleans.
Yeah, and honestly, like look at their. This is a good one. Look at their logo. The logo for the New Orleans Bowl. It's got like the classic like purple, green, and yellow look. Very New Orleans. Honestly, like this is pretty top tier so far. And I don't think they've ever changed their name. Like it's been the New Orleans Bowl since 2001. That's pretty impressive.
That is pretty impressive.
These days, yeah.
All right. At 8 p.m. on Tuesday, the 23rd, we have. Oh, I already don't like this one.
Yeah.
The Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl. Scooters is all these pop-up coffee shops. They're just not that good. They're not good.
I've had Scooters. I wasn't impressed.
They just taste syrupy and overly sweet. Like Starbucks drinks are sweet, but it's not like a syrupy cheap sweet.
I agree. Starbucks, like I'm gonna sound real basic, because there's so many like friggin' like local coffee shops in Madison you can imagine. Guys, I like Starbucks more than all of them. Like I don't know what it is, man. Just give me their
mocha. No, I agree with you. So I 100% agree.
They figured it out. So,
the only one that can kind of be competitive is Dunkin'. Their coffee is okay.
Oh, I disagree, Randy. I disagree.
But it's not nearly as good, but it's drinkable.
Dunkin', they like give it to you in like a machine. I'm pretty sure like if you get a mocha there or like an espresso or something, like they just have like a coffee machine that like their baristas.
It's something like that.
I don't know.
I remember last year during the Scooters Coffee Bowl. Again, it was played like really late at night, and it was like at halftime or after halftime. It was like 11 p.m. and they were giving them these giant coffees as part of like the bowl gimmick. And I'm just, I remember sitting there thinking, yo, it's like 11 p.m. You probably shouldn't, this is not the time to be giving people these giant 32 ounce
they're not gonna be
things of coffee.
Yeah.
Wow. And they have like a donut, a giant donut with it too. It's like, all right, they're going to be up for a while.
So many of these, when you say giant donut, you mean the giant, I pictured a giant donut mascot.
No, it wasn't like it was like a regular, just a large donut.
Okay, I was going to say, because I wonder like how many bowl mascots we're going to get over this season. Obviously the Pop-Tart Bowl, right, is a huge one, but like looking at a lot of these now, like you could very easily have like, I think the famous Idaho Potato Bowl has its own mascot, right?
I have no idea.
I'm real quick, I'm looking this up. Idaho Potato Bowl mascot. I want to
say most bowls do have a mascot.
Yep. There's, and actually, he's kind of cute. I kind of like him, to be
honest. Oh, he is.
Okay. Yeah, I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
I can't say what he kind of actually looks like, but...
Sort of like Western Kentucky vibes. You know, their mascot. Just this big blob kind of a thing.
By the way, that is being played between 10-3 UNLV and Ohio 8-4. Did we ever talk about Ohio's coach getting fired?
Let's talk about Ohio University head coach Brian Smith, relieved of his duties
over serious misconduct.
What happened? I'm sure by the time this is out, we'll know. But
I have seen internet posts regarding rumors about something about an alleged relations with the staffer.
Classic.
But like not a 32-year-old staffer, teenage staffer.
Uh-oh. Yep, folks. What did we say at the start of the show? What did we say? At least I'll give them credit. They're
difficult.
Like, all right,
isn't that difficult, dude? Yep. Like if you're gonna like, have you heard the phrase don't poop where you eat?
I've seen that on Reddit many times this week, ever since the Sharon Moore stuff.
Classic example. Like if you have to cheat on your wife, like don't do it in a way that's going to just blow up or get you fired
and ruin the careers of like everyone that you work with.
Like Lane Kiffin, I fully trust that Lane Kiffin keeps his business to purely yoga instructors. Amen. They're not employed by the university. That's There's true. Not a conflict of interest. It's not an abuse of power.
Yeah,
it's just Lane Kiffin being Lane Kiffin. And plus, Lane Kiffin isn't married, so like,
wait, he's not? Hold up,
no.
Doesn't he have a kid? Did they get divorced? Was it like a...
They got a divorce. They got a divorce while he was at Alabama, because I remember hearing about that.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, so he's... I mean, all right. Ethically speaking, Lane Kiffin might be the best guy in college football, is what I'm hearing. I mean...
Right. Okay.
Do anything wrong. All right. Let's keep it going.
On Wednesday, December 24th, on Christmas Eve, this is always... I love that this is always on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
7 p.m., we have Cal, 7-5, playing Hawaii, who's 8-4. Hawaii's had a quietly great year in the Sheraton Hawaii Bowl. Find it very interesting that they advertise a hotel with the city. That's actually kind of smart.
It is. I'm curious, like the Sheraton in Hawaii, because there's got to be one, right? I'm going on Google Maps.
I guess there's got to be one.
Let's look this up here.
I mean, I just don't see the point in going to Hawaii, because it's like I can get basically the same level of beaches by just driving like 3 or 4 hours south. I'm not trying to humble brag or like get at you right here. Like it's just reality. Like there's no reason for me to go to Hawaii.
An island has to be like a different experience, right? Like that's got to be a next level.
You know? You can go to the Caribbean. I mean,
I guess, but
it's right next door.
I mean, for me, like Hawaii is one of those places where like if I could just like teleport there, I think I'd love it. You know what I mean? But the prospect of traveling, it's like an 18-hour flight or something crazy. Like it's crazy. And you're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. It kind of freaks me out. I'm not trying to be like a wimp or nothing about traveling, but like,
no, I know what you mean.
You can look at like if you go on Google Maps, do it, and like go to the Earth view and look at Hawaii. It's almost like there's almost some like kind of like phobia or something of like being on this island, like surrounded by the entire width of the Earth of nothingness but sea. It's kind of freaky.
Right. No, I get the same exact vibe. I felt the same way about Hawaii. Like, if there's ever any kind of disaster, you've got nowhere to
go. You're done. Like, if that volcano erupts, dude, you're done. You know?
There's nowhere you can go. Where are you going to evacuate to?
Exactly. Exactly.
There's not even, like, smaller chain islands you can get to. I find this interesting.
I think it's funny Hawaii's playing this game. Does this happen most years?
They have an automatic invite if they
it's really funny.
Get to it. But it's... Okay, so it's being played at the Clarence T.C. Ching Athletic Complex. Is that the because stadium? If I remember correctly, their old stadium was condemned.
I think I remember this. Were they building a new one though?
This can't be their permanent one because it's pretty tiny.
Okay, I mean Hawaii is a small state. You know, they're getting no one's.
Hawaii is a soft, small state, but they have like a big football culture. I mean, Tua's from there. Dylan Gabriel. They have
a
football culture.
They all left Hawaii.
That is true, but I'm just saying in general, it means they care about football enough to support, obviously, a college football team. And Hawaii has had some good years, some good runs to where they can be supported. And they also get a lot of Southern California recruits as well. Yeah, this is a tiny, let me see. Capacity of around 15,000. Yeah, they're going to get it. They should get a new stadium.
Fair enough. All right. Any other bowl games then before?
That is the last one before the next episode comes out.
There you go.
Yes, they are getting a new Aloha Stadium.
Aloha Stadium. All right. What a great name for a stadium, by the way.
It is.
Well, I'm looking forward to this. I can't wait to go through more bowl sponsors in the next episode of the Gym Podcast, as well as preview the next round of the playoffs. Obviously, Randy, you've got a huge game coming up here very, very shortly. I wish you all the best of luck. I wish all teams good luck. And I hope from our perspective, man, I just remember the last year, the first round of the playoffs from a neutral perspective was really bad. I hope we have some closer games this year. That's kind of what I'm hoping for out of this first round.
I agree. I don't want to see blowouts, but I know they're kind of inevitable.
Until then, folks, thank you all for listening to Gym Podcast. And until next time, as always, high tide. Forward with confidence.